You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to The Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
I like Cortez over the weekend throwing shade at Knicks fans when the Knicks and the Heat are basically the same.
What is the same about them? It's like you guys have never seen a playoff series. It's one game.
They're in the exact same position right now.
Okay. And you like only by facts, it's still one game. You know that you'd rather be the Heat. You know it's a load of bullshit what you're doing.
I think the Knicks might take out the Hawks.
It's debatable. I mean, why would you rather be the Heat? They're playing the Bucks. The Heat are playing the Hawks. I mean,
I'd rather be the Heat because they have three or four best players on the court when you compare the two best teams. That's why I'd rather be the Heat.
Gats, do you think they're being fans at MSG again threw off some of the Knicks players?
Wow, that's a question.
Do you think fans in general are throwing off? Like Tyler Herro played in front of no fans, right, last year and had a great postseason run. And in his first game in the postseason with fans, he was dreadful.
I like this take. If you're a real super fan of your team, don't show up this playoff season series exactly. Because you're going to throw off the team. You're not used to playing in front of people. Stop going.
If I was throwing a free throw in that environment after it being dead silent for a year, I would be thrown off. That's all I'm saying.
Is any of this safe? I mean, seriously, PGA championship. I mean, packed house at the Garden. Are we supposed to be doing this? I'm not even certain.
For me, it was like the weekend of the pandemic being over. That crowd that gathered around Mickelson at 18, first off, I hated every single person in that group. But second, like, it was an astronomical amount of people on top of each other, all shouting at the same time. And then I flipped on the Utah game. Utah, like, they tarp off the first five rows, but after that, packed house. Packed house in Utah. I was blown away by this.
You know what my whole take on all of that is? It's you're welcome. Because you have these people that are just so staunchly against it. And I'm not talking about the people that just want to wait and see. Just want to wait and see because this was a historically quick turnaround for a vaccine and want to take it, but just want to make sure it's healthy. I'll leave you guys alone. But it's the people with their conspiracy theories and all that bullshit. Life is getting back to normal because people are shivering in their bed for 24 hours taking this vaccine so you can have your normal and be an asshole about lying about your vaccine card. It's disgusting to me. Like the next 17,000 people, okay, and there's a section. Hey, if you're not vaxxed, you have to wear your mask at all times, and it's just the honor system. Like no one's checking. No one's with a flashlight like a movie theater usher saying, hey, make sure you're not doing this. And it's just, they're having their cake and eating it too. You weren't allowed to go to the games before because the pandemic was bad. Now you're allowed to go to the games because people are making the sacrifice that you're not willing to do, and you're just going to out here be shading people. It's just, it bothers me, Dan. It bothers me.
It sounds like it bothers you, and it is at the heart of some of the tensions in America that fall along science lines and party lines. Yes, Billy.
See what the lifer did this weekend, taking White Hot to Utah, by the way? That guy.
Yeah, it bothered me a little bit. It bothered me a little bit.
I thought, get your own color, Utah Jazz.
I mean, white's been Utah's color.
Well, that's true, but
a long time.
I'm surprised, Whittingham, that you ventured back into the Mickelson waters, even if it was to condemn all of us, because maybe this thing isn't quite as healthy as we'd like to think that it is, what it is we're doing. But it is. There should have been an announcement or something. Just as everyone fled inside their houses when Rudy Gobert touched a bunch of microphones, there should have been an announcement this weekend. Hey, in sports, we're going to try and do it normal again. It's going to be courtside at Heat games, and Tracy Morgan and Spike Lee are at Knicks games, rather. Tracy Morgan, all the celebrities will be there. It's going to feel as normal as it can, but randomly, we're going to put 15,000 in some places and 19,000 in others. Like, I don't know what we're doing in terms of the attendance there, but I can't believe that Whittingham has gotten back into the Mickelson waters.
Well, for me, like, it's just the 0 to 60 on pandemic to non-pandemic. Like, we've been kind of phasing in 3,000 or 4,000 people, and it looks about right. And then all of a sudden, like, you watch some NHL playoff games, you're going, oh my god, this is way too many people. But yeah, I mean, it was like, honestly, the PGA Championship got the most of my attention out of any sporting event this weekend because I was so desperately rooting for Louis Oosthuizen.
I was a little surprised by the Miami Heat.
The way you'll go to be right. I mean,
I was surprised by the Miami Heat's announcement because the Miami Heat have been pretty cautious, even though they've been in the air quotes free state of Florida, and then 17,000, and the Panthers looked around and were like, okay, any sort of prearranged capacity things, we're down 3-1 in this series, 75% capacity, we're using it as a tactic now.
You know what I'm worried about? Have you guys seen the movie Safer at Home? It's like everyone came out of the pandemic and they thought everything was fine, but it wasn't fine. So they started going to sporting events. They started, you know, going back to work, going back to normalcy. And then some variants of COVID came around. And then 2 years later, everyone was back in their house and back in their house for good. I'm telling you, we are playing a dangerous game right now. Perhaps the most dangerous of games.
Wow. I love that that's how the saying now goes with you. It's always whatever it is perhaps the most dangerous of games. I'm going to make a claim here on Whittingham, what he just did. I don't believe that there is a funnier comedic word or name that he could have used across anywhere in sports than Louis Oosthuizen in terms of a random person to root for in order to be right. Like, you can't want to be right so bad that you root for Louis Oosthuizen. What a great name.
I was just shouting it at my television. He's in the bunker on 15. I'm going, Oosthuizen!
Jessica, I don't believe you've gotten your say about your fight on Twitter yesterday with a bunch of old dudes who were yelling at you about Mickelson.
I mean, everyone was yelling at me, Dan, and they were saying, oh, she was wrong about Najee Harris, and now she's wrong about this, she's Sugats, she's blah, blah, blah. And Whittingham was getting barely any smoke, and Dan, even you were not getting any smoke, even though you were agreeing with me when I gave my initial Phil Mickelson take, I believe. So I don't know why they all came after me on Twitter.
I don't know how I skated there because I don't even remember saying that as the traffic cop in the middle of it. I totally skated there. And usually I'm where the piranha like to feed. I'm like throwing a cow in the Amazon when the being wrong stuff makes an appearance. Like, how is it possible that I skated on that?
You're a man.
I didn't say he was bad flatly like Whittingham did. But I didn't care at all yesterday in terms of I was rooting for Mickelson. I was rooting for the old guy. I don't even like Mickelson, but I think this happens to a lot of old people. At this point, you want to just root for the old guy to have a feel-good story. You got Jessica and Whittingham yesterday rooting against a feel-good story.
When's the last time you actually skated? On ice, rollerblades, skateboard?
At the Panthers training facility. I'm still cursing Roy for signing me up for that.
But Dan, but that was fun. Dan specifically, though.
I'm trying to think. I haven't been on ice skates in a very long time.
I've never been on ice skates.
I have been. I know. In high school, I was a roller rink guy on the weekends.
Really? I'm just picturing the hippos from Fantasia going through my mind right now.
I have not been on roller blades in a long time, but I did try. You will like this, Stugatz. About 10 years ago, I did try roller blades, and it's a very, very abrupt and large fall, and then I stopped rollerblades. And I do think it's funny to imagine me on the beach in rollerblades in a thong.
I've got you in with wrist guards. I've got you with wrist guards on.
The thong was perfect. How many times did you fall before you quit? Like, how many was it? One?
It was three times. But like I said, it was from a great height, and I'm like, this is not fun. I'm falling on asphalt. This seems dangerous.
Risk reward on rollerblading on the beach. Like, I understand you do it for the Insta pics and all that stuff. A dangerous game because you fall and you're gonna cut everything up if you take one little stumble in rollerblading in a bathing suit. I don't really understand the appeal of doing it. You know, I had a bucket of death punishment where I had to rollerblade all day for whatever. I don't remember what the title of it was. So I had to get rollerblades and I decided it'd be a good idea to do it from the car to the studio. And I'm an idiot. And the elevator wasn't working or something. So I said, you know what? I could just go down this ramp in rollerblades in the garage. I would recommend never going down a parking garage ramp in rollerblades because I very quickly realized I can't stop these things. So I was intentionally trying to like walk very slowly with my hands along the wall going down that 7th
Street. You touched the walls of the garage?
Oh, I touched the walls. I was going down very slowly trying to go. And then I lost grip of it, right? And then I just take off going down the ramp in the parking garage in these rollerblades. And I realize one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to get hit by a car that's coming up, or I'm going to go straight through like the arm that lifts up and down that prevents you from going out. So I made a dumb decision and said, I need to throw myself on the floor of this garage.
Oh, no.
So I threw myself on the concrete of the floor halfway through. And then like, I did a roll while I was trying to get out of the garage, scraped up my knee. It messed up my the palm of my hand. And I ripped my shorts. I was really upset about that.
Did you contract cholera from landing on the floor of the garage?
I haven't been the same since, I'm not going to lie. And then after that, my reward was I still have three blocks to go. And I'm shaking. I've fallen. I'm bleeding from multiple parts in my body. Now I need to go down Ocean Drive at 7 in the morning, a bloody mess on these roller blades. And of course, as I'm doing it, I stumble like four more times, the worst of which I think was right in front of the Clevelander, where that day, coincidentally, there was a fan waiting outside to take pictures with everybody as they came in. And I'm like falling all over the place on these stupid rollerblades. Then I finally make it up the stairs. And then I was like, I should have just done this the whole time because it's like 5 feet in the studio. I'd have to actually rollerblade in. But yeah, that was fun.
Billy, I want you to take us back there for a moment because I would like to, you are a fear-soaked creature in general, but I would like you to take us through the panic-soaked decision-making that was, if I keep going down at this rate of speed on these blades because I don't have brakes, this is going to get faster and faster. So I'm going to paintball roll. I am going to roll on the ground. I'm going to combat roll here on a garage that I'm convinced that that's actually where the coronavirus started. You on that floor, you touching that wall of that feces wall-soaked garage.
I tried to do a baseball slide because I figured that would be my best technique because if I did the full roll, I would just be rolling down the ramp. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Maybe it was a bit of bravado. I don't know what it was, but it was a bit of an oversight on my end thinking, hey, going down the ramp in rollerblades would be a good idea. I think at the time I thought, you know what? This might be fun. A ramp, rollerblades, this will be okay. And then I quickly realized this incline, not meant for rollerblades, not meant for rollerblades. And rollerblades, Dan, as you know, from the times that you've gone rollerblading, have one brake on them on both. And it's either like, it's usually on the back of it, right? So like try to be going down an angle and then lifting up one leg onto the heel, hoping that that little break is going to do anything because it did absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, my options in my head were intentionally veer off to the right and crash into the wall and hope that that stops me slightly or just go on the floor. And I did both. I bounced right off the wall before I hit the floor. disaster.
I want to get back to playoff basketball because, Stugatz, I thought the Hawks and the Knicks played a great game. I thought the Heat and the Bucks played a close game. It was enjoyable to watch the back and forth of Knicks and Hawks, but Mike Ryan feels like a Homer propagandist. Ryan Cortez has not been heard from enough on Miami Heat basketball. So what did I get wrong in the first hour, in the local hour? What did we get wrong around here?
Oh, where to start, Dan? I would say perhaps everything. I mean, Mike Ryan is a guy I respect. He's a longtime Heat fan, and he's embarrassing me today because he is someone who has seen plenty of Heat playoff series. We know how this goes. We saw one game, and the man tried to trade Bam Adebayo. Look, I would just urge you guys, let it play out a little bit. Let's do this show tomorrow if indeed this happens, because we're not going to be doing this show. When Bam was healthy last year, they basically won a championship. Like, that's up for dispute, but in my head, they won the title because when they were healthy, the first 7 minutes of the game one, they went up to like a 30-10 lead. It was unbelievable. That was the only part of the series where they were healthy. So if they win this year, we'll be back-to-back defending champions. I've never been more like in belief of this team than after game one. Jimmy Butler, 3-for-17 on uncontested jumpers. And Dan Le Batard, respected journalist, says that Milwaukee's three-point performance was the fluke. No, 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 no. The fluke was Jimmy Butler on 3-for-17 uncontested jumpers. The fluke was Bam not taking a shot that is wet, a shot that is cash, a shot that he's going to hit tonight. It's Heat in five, and I'm embarrassed by Mike Ryan and you, Dan Le Batard. Stu Gatt's the only one I trust anymore.
Bingo! Bam!
So take me through your emotions yesterday, Stu Gatt's, because playoff basketball was back. And it was fun in New York, but the way they lost, Trae Young did something, Stugatz, that I don't see the
guy. He cheated.
I don't see the guy on your team that can do that. Do you?
No, we don't have a guy on our team that could do that. That's what makes this team so special. It's what makes the job that Tom Thibodeau has done so great. The fact that the Knicks really don't have a superstar. Julius Randle became a superstar throughout the course of this year, but he was not a superstar before the year. It was, Dan, it was difficult. I was so happy yesterday that at roughly 2:30, I got to sit down and watch a 50-year-old man that I love try to win the PGA Championship and followed it up by a Knicks playoff game at home. I felt like it was 1999 or something like that. It was crazy. And so it was hard to sour my mood after what I witnessed with Mickelson. But that was a tough one to swallow because the Knicks had that game because – Randle didn't play well. You got great contributions off the bench from both Burks and Derrick Rose, and I'm not certain that will continue for the Knicks moving forward here. They need Julius Randle, and they need R.J. Barrett to be better. If they're not going to be better, the Knicks are not going to win that series, and that's frustrating to me. But I can't believe I'm saying this. I was just happy, Dan, to have a playoff game. It's been that long. It's been that bad for the Knicks that I was okay with the result. I won't be okay if they're down 0-2, but I was okay yesterday because Mickelson won, and I was just happy to be back in the playoffs.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. What felt more like 1999 in sports this weekend? Knicks playoff game and Mickelson winning a major, or Kazmir throwing a baseball to cleanup man Albert Pujols, which is something else that happened this weekend. That feels like a nice rationalization, Stugatz, but Knicks fans were awfully loud about their four seed, and slow down on Julius Randle superstar, huh? Like, because that's something that only New York believes. Like, slow down on that. Julius Randle superstar, Stugatz.
He was a superstar this year. You have to give him credit. He was dreadful. And I mean, he's the reason they lost game one. He was so bad, Julius Randle. I have to think, though, Dan, I mean, he has 72 games. He played at an MVP level. And I have to think Julius Randle will bounce back and have a big game, too, for the Knicks. The Knicks win that game.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Bounce backs predicted by Homer Ryan Cortez and Stugatz, who says he was totally fine with just having a playoff game, doesn't even care if he won it. Just what kind of what are you talking about?
Like, I was at such a Mickelson high, Dan. I can't even explain to you. And I was on a weed high. I mean, it was crazy.
There it is again. That explains it.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Stugatz, I tweeted that the Empire State Building was Knicks colors on Saturday night because it was like during the Nets game, and a bunch of people were like, the Empire State Building is Mets colors, not Knicks colors, or it's Islanders colors, not Knicks colors. And then
they all have the same colors. Yes,
they all have the same colors.
Yes, correct. And the other two teams were also playing, but I went on the Empire State Building's Twitter account and it said that the Empire State Building is lit up orange and blue for the Knicks game tomorrow. So I was correct, just throwing that out there. The Empire State Building does not care about the Brooklyn Nets.
No, and the Empire State Building has also never been lit up green. I can promise you that.
It's like going to your family's birthday party and your name and your cousin's name and your second cousin's name is on the same birthday cake, basically. The Empire State Building situation.
Why would it be lit up for the Mets, though, Roy? Regular season.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? First place Mets, you guys.
That's a good point, though.
More cities should have all their teams the same colors.
Billy, I agree much. As a Steelers fan, it is so convenient just having your yellow and your black. Like, Chicago sports are all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of red, but they're mostly all over the place.
What are the bet? Like, the Steelers, Pirates, Bruins.
Penguins.
Not the Bruins. Bruins are in Boston.
Penguins are a good example. New York with the Knicks, the Mets, the Islanders. But then, like, the Giants should have been orange and red also, right?
No, because Mets fans are Jets fans.
Yeah, it's Mets and Jets, Bill.
And Giants fans are Yankees fans. New York's confusing because there's 8 different teams.
Right.
You got to pick, Pittsburgh's the perfect town because it's mid-sized. They only have one of everything. They don't even have an NBA team there. So you only have 3 teams.
Well, some of this is discounting relocated teams like the Lakers and the Clippers and the Dodgers.
Roy, doesn't Atlanta kind of have the same?
No, the Falcons are... Yeah, I guess the Falcons in the University of Georgia have the same color. The Braves are blue and red.
College can be exempt from this, though.
Yeah, we can exempt college.
There's too many colleges.
The Hawks are red and yellow.
My bolder take that I didn't say was there's too many teams in California.
Oh, that also is true.
California is huge, though. It's like there's too many big cities in California to say, hey, you only get one baseball team and one basketball team.
I was thinking off the back of Brooklyn having their own team. Like, what if in the NBA there was an NBA team for all 5 boroughs? That probably is like any one of those boroughs is probably bigger than Oklahoma City, right?
Don't gas up New York any more than they already are, please.
No, I'm with
probably,
you, but
though.
If you think of, like, for example, L.A., like, Orange County has multiple teams, right? They have the Anaheim Ducks, they have the Angels. Like, within Los Angeles, like, that's how you kind of establish some kind of locality from within bigger cities, right? So, like, what if, like, Queens had their own NBA team? I think it actually be kind of cool.
Staten Island has 500,000 people. And I think that's the smallest borough.
What if New York had their own league in everything, so we just didn't have to deal with them?
I kind of like it.
That would be no fun.
I mean, Chris, technically the Mets are playing in Queens. The Yankees are playing in the Bronx. I mean, just Staten Island doesn't have a team.
Manhattan doesn't have any teams, I guess, except the Knicks, if you think about it.
Yeah, the Knicks. Yeah.
And the Rangers.
And the Rangers. Never mind.
I take that back.
Other than that, though.
No other teams. Than the two main ones, Manhattan doesn't have anything.
It's kind of how, like, locality works in soccer, right? Like, in London, there's, like, 15 teams, and it's basically, like, each section of London has their own team, and they're kind of, like, of varying sizes. But, like, I feel like there's enough sporting infrastructure here to do something like that.
The inter-borough rivalries would be fierce. But there's also so many transplants in New York that I think it's, you know, it's tough.
Can you imagine Kendall versus Westchester? I mean, knives out.
Well, how about Hialeah? What if you were to throw Hialeah into that mix?
Oh, my God. I want none of the smoke when it comes to Opa-locka's football team.
That, too.
Opa-locka versus Liberty City. I mean, put that thing on ESPN.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Juju, how do you have a video of me falling outside of the Clevelander on rollerblades already on social media? Like, how did you track that down? How is it up already? Do I need a restraining order? Because it's incredible that you have this video of me falling on rollerblades outside of the Clevelander from across the street up 5 minutes after I said that it existed.
Pretty good at his job, man.
I think the saddest part of this video is I have like a Publix bag with like my lunch in it that's falling. Hey, it's such a depressing video.
Billy, this video is so funny. You like did the splits. You like face planted and did the splits.
I was so defeated at that point in time.
Hello, Amin. It is nice to see you. This allows us to segue seamlessly into that sound that we stole from ESPN. After a vigorous fight, we had to get Allison's voice. We had to get everything together here so that we could talk playoff basketball correctly with Amin El-Hassan.
Time to talk basketball. Amin knows basketball. He'll teach you basketball. Expert in basketball.
I've got so much I want to ask him about because everybody was losing games at the end, I mean, to get around the Lakers, to avoid the Lakers, and Anthony Davis is clearly not Anthony Davis. DeAndre Ayton eats him up. That guy looks 40 years old, correct? I mean, he's like in his early 20s and he looks 40.
DeAndre Ayton, yeah, he's got the Greg Oden thing going on.
So the Lakers, is that what they're going to be? I mean, because if Anthony Davis isn't right, and if LeBron is coming off of injury, and if all of the teams that went late in this mutated pandemic season are kind of broken and tired, what the Suns did to them, I didn't think was all that surprising.
Yeah, Dan, it's weird. I would say, first of all, Anthony Davis can't say he's tired. The guy had like 20 games off in the middle of the season. LeBron too. I mean, this was actually advantageous to them from a fatigue standpoint. The flip side of that is, are they kind of in their rhythm? Apparently not. Yesterday, Anthony Davis just didn't look aggressive. It wasn't even that he couldn't get to where he wanted to go. He just looked like he was settling a lot. And you're right, DeAndre Ayton really had him beat a lot, particularly on the rebounding side. I don't know what, Davis finished with 6 rebounds or something like that. That's not good enough. Regardless of what he's scoring or how good he is offensively, you can't have 6 rebounds. It's just not, that's not feasible, and that's not good enough for the Lakers. But that's the beauty of the playoffs, right? You play a game like that, and then you go back, and you're going to watch film, and everyone's going to point it out, and LeBron's going to talk to him about it. And I expect next game, he'll be great. And here's the crazy thing. Because they are the lower seed, we say this all the time. All right, they won game one. They're supposed to win game one. If we win game two, we got what we came for, which is a split in the first two games.
What was the story of the weekend for you? Because with LeBron showing some injury and some age, I thought the macro view, here come Luka, here comes Booker, here comes Ja, here comes Trey. Like, you've got, I called him Ja, I made him Hispanic instead of Ja. You've got 4 young guys.
Ja Morant.
You got 4 young guys looking like stars. You got Luka telling Patrick Beverly, you're too bleeping small. What was your most interesting storyline of the weekend?
Oh, man. That has to be Luka, right? As much as I love Trae Young talking about he loves the FU chants from the Garden crowd, Luka telling Patrick Beverly, you're too bleeping small. And it's a microcosm of, like, the Clippers. You're too small. Not physically. You're too small of an opponent. This is a team that, you know, people, again, have a lot of high hopes for because they're talented and they're deep, and they answered some of their experience questions, you know, getting a Serge Ibaka and Nick Batum and guys like that. And yet they turned into the Clippers again. Yes. When they play Saturday, they turned into the Clippers. And last year they played a Mavericks team that gave them a lot to handle, but it was still kind of inexperienced and first time at the rodeo. And Saturday was like, nope, we've been here before. And you hear Luka talk about this is fun. This is fun basketball. Like, that's the last thing I want to hear from the Clippers. I don't want this guy feeling comfortable.
Guillermo, please put it on the poll. Did Dan make Ja Morant? Did he make him Cuban, German, or Swedish at Lebatard show? Because I
Jamaican.
No, wait a minute. No, that is incorrect. That is if I
Yaman.
Oh no. Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, don't do that. You're not as deft around these
you
subjects.
You did it first.
I did it by accident. Yeah. I didn't do what he did, but can you get for me, because this was another story from the weekend, did we get from ESPN the ability to use Allison's voice on the Playoff P commercial? Because I thought it was funny that Playoff P started trending again. I mean, first game, first round, first half of the first game in the first round.
Stop asking questions.
Playoff P has been proven to work in the regular season for those who have struggled with moderate to severe postseason disappointment. It is not recommended as a first option. Do not take Playoff P while on Grainger. Side effects include choking, heaving, not finishing, constipation, finishing early, and all-around disappointment. Playoff P is not for everyone. Call your doctor if you experience susceptibility to catfishing, kissy face, Australian sensitivity, paternity suits, the inexplicable urge to play for the Lakers, or thinking that dude's butt belongs to a lady. If you experience the loss of Oladipo, please call your doctor immediately. Get headed in a new direction with Playoff P.
Wow, Amin is cringing and shaking his head, and you are very good at mean, Amin.
No, I was not cringing. I was admiring, appreciating, because it's been a while since we played that sound. And in it are so many things. This guy, Paul George, he's had a lot happen to him in his career. That's what I realized. Listen to this. Remember the catfishing thing? I forgot about that completely, but this commercial brought it back. So thank you.
Trey Young, does it hurt more if you're loud, obnoxious New York and you lose to that hair?
My favorite Trey Young meme is when they said his hair looks like if a lollipop fell on the ground and you pick it up and it's got hairs from the ground on it stuck to it. It's just
funny.
I don't have the thickest head of hair, so I shouldn't talk too loud. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure for the Knicks crowd, they just created a villain. He wasn't really a villain before, but you chanted F you and he hits a game winner. Guess what? Add him to the list. He's right there with Reggie Miller and everybody else. It's the guy, the Nick Killer at the Garden.
I mean, I don't get why we have replay when Trae Young late in that game clearly was not fouled. The referees called the foul. They went to the replay booth and they watched it in slow motion like everyone else. And they still deemed that it was a foul. Stugatz, like, what's the point of Stugatz, having it if you're not going to overturn them?
Stugatz, you're not allowed, Stugatz, to be the guy who's going to make this the thread throughout the show. I don't actually care about the game that much, but the ref stole it. And I'm going to take the one call and put it under a microscope as if you couldn't look at that game and find 30 calls like that one. Like, you can't be the guy who says he doesn't care and then spends the whole damn show. The only analysis of that great game is that wasn't a foul.
Well, I said Julius Randle didn't play well. He needs to play better. And if they can rely on Derrick Rose and Alec Burks to win them games, it's not going to happen. They need Julius Randle to be better. But, damn, they would have won that game had that call not been made. All Trae Young did was draw contact, and they put him on the line for two fouls. He drew the contact.
Isn't that the point, Stugatz?
He initiated the contact, Amin. He was leaning in. He was barely touched. What is the defensive player supposed to do in that spot?
This is my point on replay in general, that play aside. My thing is, if you want it to be real, then it has to be someone else's power and control. The refs need to be overruled, because I think the incentive for the guy who made the call is to look at it and say, yeah, I made the right call. It's to justify it one way or another. So in general, I would say the replay, we need like somebody in Secaucus to be the one to say, you got that one wrong. And then we overturn it rather than have the guy who made the call say, you know what? No, I'm sticking with what I said before.
It's been 20 years, 20 damn years since Spike Lee and Reggie Miller happened. For those of you too old to remember, Spike Lee was blamed by Knicks fans who care unreasonably, right? Knicks fans have been really loud, and they always are. And Pablo, who is a Knicks fan, is pointing out to people how must Brooklyn's Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving feel that they will never be cared about by this city the way Derrick Rose is because of the romanticism around the New York Knicks. It has been 25 years since Spike Lee was on the sideline being blamed by a loud New York because he had agitated Reggie Miller. It's as unpopular as Spike Lee has ever been.
Wait, Pablo can claim Knicks and Sixers? What is this?
Yes.
Bullshit?
Pablo is a
Here's the thing. I'm a front runner.
Yes, he is claiming Knicks and he's claiming them loudly and emotionally about Derrick Rose. But what do you make of all of that? What happened at the end of that game? Because I love that Trae Young, let's play that sound for the audience of Trae Young in Madison Square Garden, because he was asked too much about this after the game. It was question after question, and even he said at one point, can we talk about something else, even though I would feel pretty good if I was Trae Young in this situation, where the bleep you chant was ringing in my ears is what is still called Mecca, even though it hasn't been Mecca for a very long time, and Trae Young silenced that crowd, and this is what he said afterward.
You know, you've been in the biggest stages. I mean, when you're, in a zone and everybody's chanting F you. I don't know if any of y'all had that, but I've had it a couple of times. I had it in college and I had it again tonight. So it got real quiet at the end. And for me, I wanted to hear those F you chants again.
Courtesy of NBA TV. I mean, so good. Like, so good. That's exactly what you want game one of a series between 4 and 5.
Really quick, has anyone here had F you chants lobbed at them?
Yes.
Anyone else?
I've lobbed them at people.
I wouldn't expect otherwise, Stugatz. No, Dan, look, this is, like I said, I don't know if he was in a place to be vilified by the New York crowd prior to that game, but he is now. It's like it's a monster of their own creation. And speaking of which, we let Pablo off too easy. If you want to know why Sam Hinkie doesn't have a job, it's because of Pablo Torre. And here's why. Sam Hinkie had a plan, right? Call it the process, right? We're going to tank. We're going to get ping pong balls. We're going to get cap flexibility. And then we're going to draft the savior. And everything's going to build up from there. If that had been kind of a quiet plan, I think they could have slid and got it done and seen the other side and improved. And Sam Hinkie would still be there. But Pablo Torre goes out to Philadelphia, interviews this guy, writes this huge cover story for ESPN the magazine, hails them as geniuses, effectively shining a bright spotlight on this experiment in Philadelphia, thus lifting the stakes and making everybody pay attention to what's happening. And of course, because success wasn't immediate, people got tired and they threw Sam Hinkie in the flames. And what does Pablo Torre do? He's like Puffy, right? He said, oh, my poor martyred friend, I will ride and carry the flag for you up until the Knicks turn good again, and then I'll sell you out too.
Wow. So, and Hinkie at the time was super private, right? So that wasn't something, like if they had just stayed quiet, you're really of the belief that Pablo ended Sam Hinkie's career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Pablo's desire, his thirst, his lust for recognition, or like, oh, this story that nobody else is talking about, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to talk about it on ESPN the magazine, and we're going to do a whole bunch of series, and it's going to give birth to this thing called Trust the Process, and everyone's going to go nuts, and I'm Pablo Torre. I'm the big journalist.
The thing is, I've got blood on my hands.